An argument has been playing out over 2 days on the Daily Maverick website. Up first was a story about a community action network, the Bontehevel Community Action Network, and their attempt to repurpose a community hall, which they say had fallen into disuse and was derelict and was being vandalized and wasn't being used by the groups that would normally use it because they can't because of COVID-19 restrictions. And so they wanted to change it into a place where people who needed to isolate could do so away from homes where they would be in contact with a lot of people. And the original story said that they had been told that they were not allowed to do so by Angus McKenzie, the ward councillor, who was given right of reply, which he took up on today's Daily Maverick. We go now to Nadia Maimon de Gras, who's a media officer for the Bontehevel Joint Peace Forum Community Action Network. Nadia, I want to get both you and I want to give both you and Angus a fair chance to have your say on this. So I'm going to ask you both to be succinct as you can. Just set the scene for us very, very reasonably briefly from your perspective. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too, and thank you for the opportunity. So I'm not really sure where to start. It's just that, yes, we saw the need. People are reaching out to us in the middle of the night. Either we have to assist them with getting an ambulance or get in touch with a doctor. Dr. Khadija Hayat and Dr. Leanne Brady has been very helpful in this regard. We phoned them all hours. But that being the case, also, just to curb the spread of the pandemic, we thought it would be a good thing to have a community care center where people could then, because we live in overcrowded housing, people could then safely self-isolate away from those that they wouldn't want to infect. We've had cases where people are just outright refusing to go to the Q&I centres by the state for various reasons, but that we won't go into right now. And people would find it more helpful if there is a community response to this, and also where they're cared for by community members. And we also thought at the time that would be a great way to avoid the stigmatizing that goes with people that are
so that was the motivation, and you sought and were granted, from your perspective, you sought and were granted the necessary permission to do what you started to do.
I think at this point I must say that the multipurpose center was not our first option in the area, because we knew how vandalized the building was. It has been for a long time, even before lockdown. We would have meetings there, but we couldn't use the toilets, for instance, and that was the state of the center. So it was really not our first option, and we didn't think that we'd have the resources to fix it and repair it. But when all else failed, we approached the center manager. She informed us that there is no activities, obviously, and she is not seeing any community activities taking place there in the near future, because she was acting responsibly and didn't want people to infect each other.
She gave you the go-ahead.
We signed a lease on we started negotiations in May, and we signed a lease agreement, and in fact we have paid the rental that was due to the center at the end of June and also at
the end
of
July. And how far did you go with fixing what was apparently quite a derelict center at the time that you moved in?
We have fixed, replaced all the windows that was broken. We have repainted the facility. We also started with the La Bonne Foundation to reactivate the food garden at the back, and also turning the courtyard into a beautiful flower garden. So painting has been done. We have replaced some doors. We have replaced some ceiling boards that was broken. The kitchen has been painted.
At what cost? Do you have a global sum of what you've spent?
Well, initially the sum that we came up to was 60,000 rand. We managed with our partner can to collect 40,000, but in the meanwhile
roughly that amount of money. And then you have what's happened? You've received a vacate notice, have you?
No, we have not. Yesterday, the councillor rocked up at the centre with the disabled group, who also, yes, they used the centre before lockdown. claiming that we've evicted them, which is an untruth, and also that we have taken occupation of the centre illegally.
Okay. All right, Nadia, hold on a second. We're just going to get bring Angus McKenzie, the councillor who rocked up yesterday. Angus, your perspective on this?
Good afternoon, John. Good to speak to you. So let's just be clear here. This discussions with the JPS and with CAN has been ongoing for a while. There are three critical documents here that Nadia, unfortunately, chooses not to raise with you. The first document, John, is the contract between the City of Cape Town and the multi-purpose organization who the facility manager works for. The second document, John, is an eviction letter that was issued to all the community organizations, which includes the disabled people, the Orchids Club, the table tennis club, the cricket club, the karate club, a number of religious organizations all received an eviction letter on the 24th of June, which I have a copy of, and I'll share it with you, that was against Disaster Management Act regulations to evict anyone from any premises, taking into consideration, John, that on the 1st of July, when we went into lockdown level 3, gatherings of less than 50 people could restart. And the center was then supposed to give back to those organizations to restart. But strategically, between the JPF and CAN and the little games that they play, had then coerced the center manager to send that letter out and to put these
coerced
people out.
Coerced is a strong word. Coerced is a very strong word, Angus.
And it is exactly the issue that we are dealing with here, John. And then to come back to the contract is explicitly clear. No work of maintenance, repair, or construction is allowed on the premises without the explicit approval of the Department of Public Works as well as the City of Cape Town.
That's, I mean, that may well be there, but for goodness sake, they fixed the place up with their money.
John, but hold on, John. The second thing it says is that the center can only be used for a specified reasons. It explicitly says it cannot be used for a health facility or COVID facility or a sleeping over facility. Now, if you're going to spend money, then you must not mislead your donors as to why you are spending the money, but you should tell your donors that I don't have approval to use or to make use or fix this facility, but we are in the process of applying or requesting from the owners of the facility to do it. Now, that is where I'm telling you we've had these discussions with them for the last 2 or 3 months, and they consistently ignored it.
Hold on a second, Angus. You are saying that there's no good faith misunderstanding here. It's not that they thought they had the right, but it turns out upon scrutiny of the documents that they don't. You're saying that they knew all along that what they were doing was contractually not possible and went ahead and did it anyway.
Absolutely, John, and I will back that up with a third letter that I have, which I will share with you as well, where the Department of Public Works says in a letter that this was not approved, it is not allowed, and the actions taken are seen in a very the actions taken is illegal. Now, this is not the first time that these sorts of situations happen, with CAN being the centerpiece of all of this. So what we've been able to establish is that certain people, John, that are involved in CAN are the very same people that are involved in Reclaim the City, in Bifundo Ikwazi, and now with CAN as well. And we've seen buildings being taken over across the city. We talk about the Woodstock Hospital. We speak about the hospital outside the waterfront that they've been taken over by members of the
That's different. That is a political action where people move in to make a political point. This is a public health action.
It is not a public health action, John, because Nadia will tell you. Nadia will tell you, if she knows this well enough, that we have over 4,000 beds at quarantine facilities.
Which she says for people for various reasons don't want to use. So they're offering them an option which they might want to use.
But that is not true. Because I can tell you, John, we sit with the stats. As the council, I get the stats. And most, if not all, people are going to these quarantine facilities and they're coming back saying thank you very much. Because they're going to, and let's not mention the quarantine facilities on your show, because I guess people have a right to their privacy. What she also doesn't tell you is that their facility would have only have accommodated 10 people. Now, if you're looking at Bonteville that has 400 COVID-19 positive cases as we speak, John. What is 10 beds off the ambulance route going to benefit those 10 people? Do you know, sir, that the quarantine facility hospitals are placed on a route where ambulances are available to? So if someone gets seriously ill in a quarantine facility set up in the middle of Bontville, it's going to take up to 24 hours for an ambulance to collect that person to take them to hospital, because their quarantine facility is not approved by the Department of Health. There is no registered medical professionals to look after those individuals. And these are all things that she's not telling you. Now, I don't have the time or the effort to play political games, because this is not political at all. What I'm saying to you is that the disabled people were evicted illegally. The karate club was evicted illegally. The tennis club was evicted illegally. Two churches were evicted illegally out of that facility. On the 1st of July, they were all allowed in terms of regulations to return. And strategically, 7 days before, they were given a letter to say, come and fetch your things and get out.
That's the Bontheville Ward Councillor, Angus McKenzie. Before that, I wish we had more time, but we're already late for news, because I would love to have Nadia respond to that and then Angus respond to Nadia's response. But the nature of this program is that we don't have time for that sort of thing. So we've heard two completely different perspectives on one set of actions. There we go. Nadia Maimon de Kras was with us as well, media officer for the Bontheville Joint Peace Forum Community Action Network.